This December 18th, 2005, Bolivia elected the first indigenous head of state in the Western Hemisphere since the Spanish conquest in 1521. Today, we'll start off a new season and a new year by looking at reactions to Evo Morales' election and at the issues. In celebrating his victory, Morales said, quote, "I want to tell the Aymaras, Quechuas, Chiquitanos, and Guaranis that we are going to be presidents for the first time," end quote. In Bolivia, 60% of the population identify themselves with one of the country's indigenous groups, according to the 2002 census. Rafael Gonzalez is chair of the Committee for Campesino Unity in Guatemala, where over 40% of the people are of indigenous background and another 55% are mixed indigenous and Spanish. Gonzalez told Interpress Service he hopes Morales' victory will have repercussions throughout the Americas, and that in the future, other indigenous peoples, quote, will have a president who truly represents them, like the one in Bolivia, end quote. The president of the powerful Confederation of Indigenous Nationalities of Ecuador, where 25% of the population is indigenous and another 65% is of mixed ancestry, Luis Marcas, said that Morales' victory is a historical landmark, unlike anything seen, quote, since the time of Spanish colonialism. The same group's organizational director, Miguel Guatemal, said it was especially encouraging that Morales had won the presidential elections within a neoliberal and colonial system. "For all of the indigenous peoples of the Americas," Guatemal said, "Morales' victory is an important precedent that shows there is hope for the future." Over the past 15 years, powerful, organized indigenous movements in Latin America have succeeded in overthrowing governments in Bolivia and Ecuador and forced the issue of Aboriginal people's rights onto the political agenda, as in the case of Mexico and the primarily indigenous Zapatista National Liberation Army. Throughout the same period, a growing number of indigenous people have been elected to public office as mayors, members of Congress, and government ministers. In Bolivia itself, Aymara Indian Victor Hugo Cardenas served as vice president from 1993 to 1997. Although Morales is often linked with Cuba's Fidel Castro and Venezuela's Hugo Chavez, the first leader he mentioned after he was elected was Subcomandante Marcos, spokesman for the largely indigenous Zapatista National Liberation Army in Mexico's Chiapas region. Morales, the 46-year-old president-elect, a member of the Aymara community, Bolivia's largest ethnic group, emerged as a leader of the country's coca farmers in the central region of Chapare, and has consistently spoken out for the struggles and demands of the country's poverty-stricken and marginalized indigenous majority. No one expects Morales to have an easy time of it. Rigoberto Menchú, the Mayan activist who was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1992, cautioned that the new president will be confronting, quote, "a very complicated and complex task, because he will be leading a country where racism and discrimination are very deep-rooted, in addition to serious economic problems, poverty, and social and political divisions," end quote. The platform of Morales' party, MAS, or Movement Toward Socialism, called for a break with the last 20 years of neoliberal rule, nationalization of the country's new gas industry, the second largest in Latin America, legalization of coca cultivation, and a constituent assembly to involve the indigenous majority in rewriting the constitution. Many Bolivians are understandably skeptical over private management of their natural resources because of past travails dating back to the colonial era of seeing their natural resources consumed abroad with no benefit to the nation's poor. During the 1980s, the privatization of mines under Victor Paz Estenssoro led to the dislocation of thousands of mainly tin mine workers to such an extent that the sector's workforce was reduced from 35,000 in the 1970s to a mere 3,500 in 2002. The privatization of mines led to a precipitous drop in government revenues, and it became increasingly difficult for the state to service the country's burdensome foreign debt and underwrite its basic responsibilities, including positively acting on social justice issues. However, Morales opposed nationalizing the gas industry only to adopt the policy after protesters took to the streets to demand it. Morales denies he will expropriate assets. Instead, analysts say he would be likely to push for contracts to be renegotiated, with production levels and prices being set by the state, which would also receive a greater share of the revenue. At best, that would probably deter any new investment, but it could prompt some companies to resort to international arbitration. Morales and his running mate, Alvaro Garcia Linera, are the first to temper both the overambitious hopes of the left as well as the exaggerated fears on the right. "We should admit that Bolivia will still be capitalist in the next 50 to 100 years," Linera said in recent interviews. The real sticking point seems to be coca cultivation. Instead of searching out ways of working with this man, much of the official response to him so far has been muted, except for occasional outbursts of hostility and fear that verge on hysteria. For instance, in a July speech to the Hudson Institute, a Washington think tank, Roger Pardo Maurer, the Pentagon's Deputy Assistant Secretary for Western Hemisphere Affairs, said, quote, "The two main Cuban projects in the region are Venezuela and Bolivia. Bolivia is the set battle piece going on right now. It is not by any means inevitable that Bolivia should go to being a Marxist, radical, anti-U.S., pro-Cuba, drug-producing state. That is not inevitable, but the other side is working very hard to take it that way," end quote. Or take Adam Isaacson at the Center for International Policy, a liberal think tank in Washington. He speculates that coca cultivation could conceivably double under Morales. That in turn could lead to an upsurge in cocaine production and a fall in the street price of the drug, putting Mr. Morales on a collision course with a cadre of anti-drug warriors on Capitol Hill. The Bush administration would come under pressure to strike Bolivia from the list of countries it deems to be collaborating in anti-drug efforts, meaning the U.S. government would cut bilateral support and vote against multilateral aid to Bolivia. That could be a problem for Canada. In Canada's international policy statement announced in April 2005, Bolivia is one of the 25 development partners in which CETA will concentrate the bulk of its country-to-country assistance. Therein lies a good question for an all-candidates meeting this January. "Zero coca would mean zero cocaleros," says Morales 2 days after the election. In a long fight with many deaths, injuries, and jailings, the cocaleros often blockaded the central highway between La Paz and Santa Cruz, choking the economy. At last, in October 2004, former President Carlos Mesa signed a pact allowing each farming family in Chapare to cultivate coca on one cato, approximately 0.4 acres, of land. Contrary to reports, Evo says he is happy with the cato for now, and as president he would mount an international campaign for the right to legally export many coca-containing products, such as health cures, shampoos, and biscuits. The National Cocalero Federation unequivocally opposes cocaine trafficking. In Bolivia, coca is sold by supermarkets as tea and by shops and street vendors as leaves, wine, balm, and toothpaste. It is used primarily to prevent altitude sickness, but also for digestive problems, headaches, toothaches, sore throats, and as a stimulant, much in the same way that we use coffee or tea. It is also used in spiritual practices of the native people, in which the coca leaf is identified with Mother Earth. Finally, coca is an important source of nutrients. The leaf contains high levels of calcium, iron, phosphorus, potassium, and vitamins A, B12, and E. Many who chew coca get 100% of the recommended daily allowance of these nutrients from their coca use. For many poor people in the more barren regions of the Altiplano, coca is a critical element of their diets and an important means of adapting to life at high altitudes. At a Montreal conference in 2003, Marc Lortie, the Assistant Deputy Minister for the Americas for the Department of Foreign Affairs and International Trade, said, quote, "It is now clear that formal democracy and elections are not enough, and that many of the promises of structural reform and sustainable economic growth in much of the Americas have not been sufficiently delivered upon. Growth alone, especially sporadic growth, is insufficient to guarantee social equity. Social and economic inequality in Latin America remains among the worst in the world. Indeed, according to the World Bank, inequality is greater in Latin America than in every other region except sub-Saharan Africa." The poor don't want to be rich, Morales said after casting his vote in his hometown of Chapare. "They just want equality," he said. With Morales' election, the final stage of historic decolonization, the decolonization of what has been called the Fourth World, became an official public event. That's it for this Monday. If you'd like to suggest a story or comment about anything you hear on World Report, email Earthling, that's EARTHLING, at netidea.com. Put World Report in the subject line to make sure I don't mistake your message for spam. I'm Jim Terrell at Kootenai Co-op Radio. Thanks for listening.